Greetings, members of the Planetary Union. I am Communications Officer Asimov, and I have been tasked with introducing this podcast to you. The recording you are about to hear is brought to you by Captain Greg E. Hockstetler and First Mates Miranda Fisher, Tim Treese, and alien expert Dr. Kevin O'Brien. Follow at Official Orville on Twitter to see all information dispatches from the crew, and go to officialorville.space to see important status updates. The mission is to explore the space. This is the official The Orville podcast.
Greetings, all you aliens out there in the Planetary Union. Welcome to the official The Orville podcast. This is episode 4. We're going to be talking about If the Stars Should Appear, episode 4 of The Orville. That is actually a Ralph Waldo Emerson quote. Yeah, I had that up on my computer for several days, and I eventually closed the tab, so I don't have the rest of that quote. But very high-minded quotation that they use there. I'm your captain of this starship, Greg E. Hockstetler. We've also got First Mates Miranda Fisher is here.
Hey, happy Arbor Day.
Thank you. We've got First Mate Tim Treese.
And a happy Arbor Day to you and all of our listeners.
Unfortunately, we don't have First Mate Kevin O'Brien. He's off.
He's not First Mate.
No,
he's alien expert. Doctor.
Yeah, well, he's also technically a first mate, in my opinion. I mean, as the captain, I think I might know Tim.
Sorry, Captain.
He's first mate and alien expert. He gets two titles. Just like you're the math guy.
Wait, what am
he's
I?
He's the alien expert. You are the sexy ingenue.
I'm the girl, yeah. Same thing.
No. You are our music expert. There hasn't been a music episode yet. That's the problem.
Probably pretty soon. I feel like it's got to be coming up soon.
Yeah, and that's not your fault. I don't want to blame Seth MacFarlane on this because he is, you know, the reason for this whole thing we've got going here. But it seems like there should have been a music episode by now. But we've also got, for the very first time, our ensign Danny Cannon is here. Danny, thank you for being here.
Happy Arbor Day. thanks for having me aboard.
Okay, first of all, I think it's a little fucked up that you get to be named Danny Cannon. Like, that's a really good name, especially for the podcast and stuff. Like, it seems like that's not fair, honestly.
It's really not fair for just an ensign. And how do you say that word?
I say ensign. I don't know. Yeah, I think how they said
it
on the show.
I'm sure you're right, but I feel like this is a Star Trek word that I don't know. Anyway, it's a little fucked up that he's only an ensign and he gets to have a cool name. I think I should be Danny Cannon. He should have to be Miranda.
Seconded.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Well, it's going to be a little confusing for me to try to call.
Okay, starting next episode.
Okay.
Well, so we have another debate, which is, you know, when like a sports team moves to another city, or what, like with the Cleveland Browns moved and then there's a new Cleveland Browns, they had to argue over who got the history of the Cleveland Browns. So, Danny, do you have Miranda's history? Or is it just a name swap?
Danny has the Cleveland Browns history now.
Oh, okay. You're talking about yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't going to be confusing. This is cool. Okay, good. and like I said, Kevin isn't here. Luckily, we do have a voicemail now.
The voicemail is 775-285-6224.
That's right. Yeah, so if you want to call and leave a message, that is the phone number for you to call. If those numbers, 775-285-6224, are too difficult for you to remember, just remember this handy mnemonic. It's Splat Job AI. Just type that into your phone, and there you go. You've got our voicemail. So Kevin took advantage of this so he could still appear on the podcast, and he left us a nice voicemail message. So here, I'm going to go ahead and play Kevin's message right now.
Hey, Orville Potters. Hey, Greggy. My captain. My captain. Hey, who else is on this? Hey, Tim. Hey, Miranda. Hey, Danny. I just want to say hi, guys. I'm in the Bahamas right now, so I can't make it. You know how sad I am about that, but, I would leave a longer message, but it's, they charge per phone call here. It's about 50 cents per minute, so we'll see how long this one goes. You know, I had to call, though, for the pod, had to get my numbers up, and I just want to say I didn't get to watch this episode, so I have no thoughts, but I'm going to probably go down to the local bar here. They probably got it running on the TV or whatever. I'll just ask them to switch it on. And so that's probably going 24/7 around here. I know it's huge here. I've been seeing everybody just wearing their Orville hats and their Orville shoes. What are predictions for this episode? I think John Lamar is going to do a really cool driving. It's going to be his turn to do a cool driving thing. So they're probably going to do something like flip in a dinger ball, something like that. So that's my nomination for the hashtag, and I hope I win the Golden Ori. Bye.
I never thought about it, but that is actually a really good prediction for what does happen in this episode. That does happen, I think. But yeah, so at the 50 cent a minute rate that Kevin mentioned, that probably cost him like, you know, $20 or so. So, but thank you for calling in, Kevin. It's great to have you on. However, it's not fair that only Kevin gets to do a voicemail. So I also wanted to do a voicemail. I believe Tim also wanted to do a voicemail. Miranda did a voicemail. A certain Ensign couldn't be bothered to do a voicemail. But that's okay. He's new. He's fresh. He doesn't know. But here we go. Let's hear what Tim had to say to the voicemail.
Hey, guys. It's Tim, host of the official Orville podcast. Just saw the tweet. Giving a call to see what's up. I miss you guys. Looking forward to our next record. Okay, bye. Love you.
Wow, that was really sweet, Tim.
Yeah, well, you know.
Tim, I love you truth. Too.
Thank you. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Danny, do you love Tim?
I feel like I could love Tim. I haven't spoken to Tim a lot. I'm just sort of feeling it out, but yeah, that's definitely in the cards, I think.
Okay, I am ranking over you.
Right.
So
I'd love you so much, Tim.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love you too, Tim. And then Miranda had a thing to say. Here we go.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Miranda. I'm one of the hosts of the podcast. Just see if you guys want to, like, get dinner or something before we record. Let me know.
Okay. I'm sorry I actually didn't listen to that.
Nobody got back to me.
Sooner. Yeah, I feel really bad about that. I'm sorry, Miranda. I was just thinking about how much I love Tim.
Well, and I had just gotten dinner when that call came in. So I was like, I'm going to have two dinners, you know?
Well, you could have just told me that, you know? I'm not trying to make you have dinner with me, but you could just be honest with me and say, hey, I already ate.
Well, this is me doing that, I guess. I ate.
It's a little late. It's too late to eat dinner now. It's 10:17 p.m.
And well, people are still driving.
Yeah, all the outdoor noises that you hear are courtesy of Danny, who's recording out of doors tonight.
I thought that was a soundboard you had going, Greggy.
No, I retired the soundboard.
I'm just on the street, sort of trying to bring it to the fans, you know, to stay connected.
Yeah, if you see anybody, just make sure to get in their face and ask them what they think about the Orville, please, Danny.
We'll do.
Okay.
Old man on the street.
Here's the last voicemail. I just want to say I felt a little raw about how good Kevin's message was. And maybe I overreacted a little in my message, but here we go.
Hey, everybody. It's your boy, Greggy. I just wanted to say thank you so much for playing this voicemail on the podcast. Kevin's not the only one that can do a voicemail. Anyone can, including me. And so it's not special that he did it. It's actually very cool that I'm doing this right now. And everybody loves this message that I'm giving. I thought about what I was going to say ahead of time, and now I'm saying it word for word. Every moment of this is planned. Thank you. I love you. Talk to you later. Talk to you soon, Orville Nation, Orville Legion. Goodbye.
Yeah, that was a great message. Great job.
How many takes was that?
That was actually one take, believe it or not.
Wow. True professional.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you. Yeah, early front runner for the Golden Ori, Tim.
Well, wait.
Yeah.
I thought it was good too. I thought.
Oh, okay.
You sounded like a professional voicemail leaver. Yeah, the same things that Tim said. I'm agreeing with them.
Oh, okay, great. Sounds like we got a tie then. We better get started talking about this podcast. But before we do, I just wanted to say. We've been getting just hundreds of emails from the listeners begging us to put off recording the episodes, giving them more time to watch the shows because they just are so sick of getting spoiled by the show. And I just want to say, I'm sorry. I appreciate what you're saying. But we've actually, like, two or three people have gotten with us and said they think we should put out episodes sooner, like maybe right after the episodes of the Orville come out. So it's kind of hard to balance these two things out. Eventually the Orville will, you know, take a week off or something and we'll get caught up. So don't worry about it.
I hope it doesn't take a week off.
Yeah, that's true.
What a scary thought.
Yeah. Well, I hate to even say it, but I mean, just thinking about the way TV shows generally work, I think that is probably something that's going to happen.
As long as they do a rerun, I'm buckled in. I don't care.
Okay.
Mm, true.
So if they do a rerun, do we have to do another episode about the rerun? But like 3 weeks later, the way we do right now?
The other option is we can rerun and like republish the same podcast episode, but with a new title and like episode 12.
But yeah, so this episode, wow, what an ep. You know, these episodes, they tackle really big subjects. And this one, I think Seth might have set his sights on religion this week.
No. I didn't, personally, I didn't get that, but...
That's not what I thought at the time, but now that you say that, it would make a lot of sense.
No, so I'm worried that you guys didn't understand. It was about a spaceship.
Well, let's just go through the episode real quick, and when we get to the parts where I thought maybe it was a little bit about religion, then I'll tell you, and you can decide what you think then. The episode starts with Bordas and Kramer in bed together. Kramer saying, "Oh my God, Bordas, I have physical needs. I need you to crank me out or something. I don't know. I don't know exactly how it works. They're both males, so I assume it's like, you know."
I am your mate, and I have needs.
I thought, so I watched it, you know, 4 or 5 days ago, but I thought the line was, crank needs a crankin'.
Okay. Yeah, ooh. I didn't rewatch, usually I rewatch the episodes right before, and I didn't do that this time, but that does sound right, so I think that might have been it. Yeah, so they're having issues, I guess, they're having intimacy issues with Bordas's big, important job.
I wanted to sound like I'm criticizing the episode, but what the hell was this opening sequence? Like, what did it have to do with anything? Why was it there?
Yeah, I guess, I think it was just like a humor thing. Like you're laughing so much at these, these two men that are married to each other are just like, you know, you and your wife that you've been married to for 1,000 years, you know, it's the exact same thing.
It was a little weird though, because we learned last week that Clovis was born female, and in their argument, he took the position that was like the stereotypical wife position.
Mm.
So was it saying, like, you can't really change your gender? Like, what was it saying?
Yeah, maybe gender is deeper than sex. Like, so he had his sexual reassignment surgery, but he still identifies as a classic Seth MacFarlane naggy wife character.
No, I don't think he identifies as female. I think they made that, like, pretty queer last episode.
Well, he doesn't know it yet, I think.
Oh, okay.
Clavey goes out and he wants to watch Sound of Music to make him happy. As always, everything in this show, all their references are from, you know, now.
So the early highlight for the episode, I think looking at the first minute might have been my favorite line, was when Crayon goes, "I would like to eat some depression food."
Oh, yeah, that's so funny.
Also, we can all relate.
I couldn't tell if that was him or that was Bordas the whole time, so I didn't know. And then I was like, does it matter which one of them it is? Like, does that make any difference in the whole thing? Danny, any thoughts?
Yeah, I liked this scene a lot. I liked when he went over to the depression food machine, and it gave him two options. The one that was the alien one, so you remember that it's in space and stuff, and then Rocky Road ice cream, so you remember actually we have all the space stuff, but what we really care about is what Earth people do now.
And it is, yeah. Is Earth food and like ice cream and stuff, is that good for a Morklon like Klavan, Danny?
I mean, he seemed to be pretty happy about it, I guess. I don't know. Do they?
I wish we had an alien expert on the show this week.
I mean, biologically, I think this is the first time we're seeing Bordas eat dairy. So were there any hints later in the episode that maybe there was some lactose intolerance? You know.
Wait, was it Bordas?
No, it was the other
Sorry.
One.
Sorry, I said a Bordas. honestly, don't remember what they're called. What are they called?
Moccasins?
Mocklin?
Mocklin, that's it. Well, and I mean, if they have no women, then there's no milk for children. So, I mean, there should be no milk at all in their society. So then this dairy thing is, you know.
Maybe in the future, ice cream isn't made with milk.
True. It is like just atoms in that machine that they have there. But I also read a very compelling fan fiction recently that said that Bordas does breastfeed his baby. And that guy is really doing a lot of work to help expand the Orville universe. So
what was that author's pen name? It was Tharp Devonport.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm pretty sure that's Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah. Shout out to Tharp.
Yeah, well, Tharp left this little note at the top that says, "I'm doing what I can to try and fix things that weren't working on screen and a little more world building." I don't know who else would be doing that if not Seth.
Yeah. But we don't want to read that this week. Maybe we'll read it next week. We'll see.
Talk about it next week.
But they find a big mass. It's a big old spaceship. Like Tim said, it is actually a spaceship.
Thank you. It's so big of you, Greggy.
Yeah, at this point I'm saying, no, this isn't about God. This is about a spaceship.
Could be a derelict of some kind.
But we haven't gone inside yet. Malloy makes a very cool joke about Persian guys. 400 years from now, that's still relevant.
Wait, what was the joke? I missed that.
They were talking about how big the spaceship is. They said, who did this spaceship belong to? And Malloy says, might be a Persian guy trying to show off with his big spaceship. I guess he's saying that Persian people have big cars or something?
They're big spaceships, yeah.
Is this a stereotype?
I'm not aware of this particular stereotype, but...
Well, you have to remember, it's 400 years in the future, so it's a different stereotype.
Okay.
And I imagine we're going to be getting a lot of behaviors that are sarcastically attached with an Earth race that aren't now. you know?
Yeah.
Why don't they just say, like, it's probably a Chilean guy trying to show off or something like that?
That would have been cool. Or even a different alien that we haven't even heard of before, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be great world building. Then we see Norm again, or, well, what is his name? I don't remember his name, but Norm MacDonald, the slime that is Norm.
Yalfit. Something like that.
He's flirting with the doctor again. This scene, I think, has nothing to do with the episode.
No, but you know what? She seemed more into it this time than she did last time. Like, she seemed like she was considering it when he was like, come to my cube and we'll get sloppy and weird or something gross like that.
Yeah.
And she didn't say no. She looked like she was thinking about it.
Well, God willing, that's going to happen at some point in this show. I can't wait.
His last episode, it was like a scowl of, this is so inappropriate. And this week it was like a, you rambunctious scamp trying to have sex with me.
I think the difference is last week he like basically showed her his penis, and this week he didn't. True. So maybe that's the difference there.
Okay.
Danny, what did you think of this scene?
I thought it was great. I love this one too. I liked the part at the end. Well, I was kind of confused because he said that he would have to go and spend the night with his toothpaste.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really.
Yeah, what was that?
Is that a character on the show?
No, it
truthfully,
hasn't been so
very
far.
Confusing.
I guess because he's a slime and like a toothpaste is like a gel or something, and like maybe I think it was trying to imply that there was some kind of a sexual nature to what he was going to do with the toothpaste, but I don't really understand it.
What is the he doesn't have teeth? Why does he even have toothpaste?
Well, he probably can form teeth, just like he can form a penis.
That could be true.
Yeah, but that doesn't. Why would he need toothpaste for his gelatin teeth? Slime
to clean them.
Yeah. Why do you need toothpaste?
What, are you confused about what toothpaste is?
Maybe I am. Maybe it sounds like we're talking about two different things.
One important clue in this scene was Yafit does mention having a job, but he doesn't say what it is. So he does something on the ship. We're still not sure what. Our best guess is that he unclogs pipes and toilets, but we're not sure still.
I think his job is to sexually harass the doctor.
That does seem to be what he does the most. So
yeah, as far as I've seen, that's his job.
You know how the like the TSA will hire people to try to get through TSA? I think he's a member of the HR department who is trying to harass people to make sure that it gets stopped.
So that's really bad news for the doctor that she's like her guard is going down on this.
Yeah, because she's, I think, in his management chain. So it's really legally on her to put an end to this.
If this is the case, I hope she, stops Norm sometime soon, because this can't go on. I don't want her to be in trouble for this.
I do. I want to see what happens when she does get in trouble for this.
Well, Kelly could come out of retirement and be a lawyer again. Take this sexual harassment case.
Okay.
See? This is why I say I hope she does.
Oh my God. See, the thing is, I just get so attached to these wonderful characters that Seth has written for us, like as people. I don't even think about the drama that could ensue if they had, problems or, issues that they had to work through. But that's a really good point. Yeah, that would be a great episode. Okay, so it turns out the ship is really old.
Could be a derelict of some kind.
They go on to the ship, and Captain Orville has Alara open the door, because she's so strong, and he says, can you open this jar of pickles for me like you did the other time? And does he also say that he loosened it this time? Like, is that part of it too?
I was waiting for it, but he wouldn't say it.
Okay. So now his catchphrase with Alara is just, could you open this jar of pickles for me?
Next time he's going to be pointing at his dick when he says it.
Yes. And then Alara will just rip his dick off.
Yeah. I loosened it for you. Then they can debate about, you know, whether to put a dick on him.
Yeah. That's,
then they'll just put a rerun episode in there.
But every time they say the baby, they replace it. They overdub it with somebody saying the Orville.
Hell, I'd watch it.
Yeah, of course. Of course we all would. We're going to watch them all anyway.
Inside the ship, there's a whole planet inside of there.
That reveal where they go, what's in here? And then it's like a field, a seemingly endless field. I got tingles. It's just one of those. It's so beautiful and so unexpected and so human, you know?
Yeah, I was like, holy shit. They opened it up and it looks exactly like the place that they're from and we all live right now.
Yeah. Well, and I thought this has to be an alien race. Well, I guess this would kind of be a repeat of the second episode. An alien race like setting up a trap to do something that's comfortable to them to get them in. Because the odds that it is a completely separate alien race that happens to have identical landscapes and cultures and everything.
And appearance.
Yeah. And of course they speak American English like every other alien species. I thought that would be kind of unbelievable. But to be fair, they explained it. I think they explained it. I don't remember.
I thought they were humans who just had like weird faces. This is not a joke. The whole time I thought they were humans.
Were
they not?
Well, that is every race. That's Alara's race. It's human with weird faces.
Yeah, true.
The only one that isn't is Yafit.
Hmm. Oh, and the director of biology at that lab.
Right, yeah. So the other thing about the ship is that it doesn't have its engines on, and in 6 months it's going to fly into a star. So they're also there on the ship to warn them and let them know and see if they can help them get the ship started back up. But also we have a little comic interlude because Isaac doesn't know why the Orville and his ex-wife Kelly got divorced.
Well, you don't have to be a dick about it.
Explain, dick.
Check your monitor.
Ah, I see.
And he thinks maybe it's because the Orville is bad at sex. Like, yeah, right, as if.
That was pretty funny that he would even suggest that that could possibly be true. You look at him, you know this guy's not bad at sex.
From the mouths of babes, you know, just the stuff that makes no sense.
You're saying Isaac's a babe?
Oh.
Perhaps she fears you are not sexually adequate.
Danny, what do you think about the Orville's sexual prowess?
I mean, you got to imagine that it's just very good, right, at sex.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
That seems to be the consensus here.
What do you think?
Oh, me, like, personally? Like, specifically?
Yeah.
I think he'd be very tender, I guess. I think that, you know, you could just really have a nice time with the guy.
What do you think his skin feels like?
Well, probably soft.
Yeah. What do you think you would feel like inside when you touch his soft skin?
Probably good.
Great. Thanks, Danny. We don't want to get too racy for if we have any younger listeners listening. So I got to stop you there before you get into the, you know, the X-rated stuff. Okay. But the aliens keep mentioning this guy named Dural. And who is Dural? We have no idea at this point. Then they split up. So Isaac and the doctor and the Orville talk to these aliens in a cabin or whatever. And Alara and Kelly take off for some reason. They like split up. By the way, Isaac also shoots one of the aliens. I guess he stuns him. He doesn't actually kill the alien.
But we never see him again. They say he's going to wake up. We never see that guy again.
Right.
So, I honestly thought because the Orville is like, yeah, he's not dead. And he's like, wait, you just stunned him, right? And then Isaac is like, yeah, I just stunned him. And then the Orville's like, oh, okay. I thought that was going to come back later that he actually killed him. But instead, we just like, nothing happened.
Right. It could be the case that he did actually just kill the guy, and we just have no idea because they never mention him again in any way.
Or they don't say how long it would take him to come out of the stun, do they?
I don't think so. How long are you thinking it would take?
I mean, it could be like 200 years, and then he'll have died by then anyway.
That could be it. We don't know how this technology works.
It could be more of a coma gun.
But we find out when they split up, Alara has a boyfriend named Josh, who lives in Canada, I guess, because we've never seen him.
No, but they break up. They broke up. So they just introduce this character just so that I'm trying to say this in a way that doesn't sound like I'm criticizing the show, because you know it's my favorite show and right. Everything they do makes sense and is perfect. But some part of me feels like they put the two women characters alone, and then they were like, oh fuck, what do women talk about? Probably their boyfriends. Well, neither one of them has a boyfriend. We'll have to like make up a boyfriend so that they have something to talk about together.
And it worked.
Yeah, it worked. Yeah, you're right. It was a great idea, and I'm glad they did it.
Somehow, though, talking about Alara's boyfriend, Josh, who she broke up with and we've never met, leads to them talking about what a great guy the captain is. which is weird because, I mean, like, Kelly hates the guy, right? I mean, they don't really get along.
But then there's the captain, and he doesn't even seem to care, you know? I mean, whenever I open a hatchway or lift something heavy, he just gives me this gratified look like I just cleaned up his dog's puke.
Now, well, trust me, Ed has his own set of hang-ups.
Like what?
How could you hate Mr. Orville? I don't think she really hates him.
Yeah, that
she's jealous of him.
Yeah, I think she hates herself for not being with him anymore.
In a way, though, it just shows, like, Seth did a really great job of writing this, because I mean, he does write all the episodes. This shows us what a great guy the Orville is. Even these people that have no reason to be talking about how great he is, and maybe they have reason not to be, can't help themselves. They have to say, you know, what a great guy he is. So that just makes us as the viewers, you know, we fill in these blanks. Wow, the Orville must be really, really good, you know?
Yeah, why did Alara say he's good? She had a reason, right? She was like, he's not mean to me because I'm stronger than him or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Like, he's not intimidated by how strong I am. Most guys, they don't like it that I can beat him up or whatever. But the Orville, he just makes a little joke and then he has her do it for him. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Sure.
And I mean, it is a little bit stereotypical of the single guy being best friends with the single girl who can open all of his pickle jars for him. So it's that classic chemistry that just works of, hey, I'm kind of sarcastic and I'm cool and I'm going to, you know, open your pickle jar for you.
Yeah, it helps us relate because we see ourselves in the characters.
Danny, thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was great. I liked the part where she says that when she does stuff for Captain Orville, he looks at her like she just picked up his dog's puke or something like that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a very good image and
yeah, it made me think of
made it clear.
Like, oh, disgusting that you would do this for me.
Yeah. I thought it made it clear exactly what she meant. And why she would be happy about that.
So right immediately following this comic interlude, some aliens show up and fucking blow Alara away. They like just shoot her in the fucking chest, and she goes down this hill just bleeding profusely.
I'm cheering,
profusely.
I'm clapping.
And then one of them hauls off and hits Kelly in the face with the butt of his gun and just knocks her out, puts her in the truck, and they drive away. And they leave Alara for dead.
Oh, boom, bitch! That's what I'm talking about, right there on that boom!
Yeah, so there's this big scene of violence against women.
One of many violence against women highlights in this episode.
Yeah, that's like the theme of this episode. Oh, so the Orville, not the guy, but the ship, they're outside. They can't communicate with the Orville inside of the big ship, the Captain Orville. But they get a distress call that they have to go help a colony ship that's being attacked by the Krill. So they leave a communication buoy to let them know that. And they take off and pew, pew, they're shooting lasers at this ship and stuff. And it's like, and John Lamar's flying so good, right? It was awesome.
That's what I'm talking about, right there on that boom!
Yeah, I was into it because I think John Lamar is very attractive, and it was cool that my Orville boyfriend got to do something. I did wonder why it was happening in the show, but I'm not complaining about it.
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, why was it important for them to leave?
I don't.
Because at one point
they leave that message. They're like, oh, leave this message so that everybody knows what happened. And I was like, oh, something's going to happen and they're not going to get the message. They're going to freak out. But no, they just went and got the message and they were like, oh, it looks like they're on a distress call.
Yeah.
Well, and they had this big plot point of they had to go check and then check in with them and to see if they could get help or something like that. But it seems like a way more graceful way would have just been that they couldn't get out, you know? Like, couldn't they just have all gotten
inside?
Kidnapped and then the plot moves on normally and you don't have to have this insane Krill battle that's way more interesting than...
Yeah.
Danny, thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought the scene was good and I really liked how you know there were some people who were doing the plot, which was boring, so they had the rest of the people go and do an interesting thing for a bit, just, you know, as a sort of change of pace to get to know that, okay, sometimes, you know, we're going to be out here fighting aliens and sometimes we're going to be in here walking around and getting accosted by people.
And if you think about the business side, like Gordon Malloy and John Lamar are series regulars, so they have to get paid no matter what. So you might as well put a scene in where they're off, you know, shooting Krill ships and stuff. Because you got to get your money's worth out of these actors. Because otherwise they'll just sit around and, you know, eat craft services all day.
Remember there was that scene earlier when they were talking about how boring their jobs are? This sucks and I hate doing it. I don't want to do it. Maybe that was just improv from the actors. They were like, give me something to do in this episode. Also, what I liked about that scene was that Mr. Orville and Kelly were just like sitting back and letting those guys do everything. Like the Orville and Kelly were just literally sitting there doing nothing while everybody else does this apparently very important task.
Well, that's true leadership by the Orville.
Yeah, it's, you'd scale yourself, you know? Gonna have to disagree with you on this one, and I think Greg's on my side. And...
There's no disagreement. I was just raising a topic of conversation. There's nothing to disagree. Do you disagree that it happened?
Oh, I mean, being completely honest, I don't remember it happening. So I guess so.
I do remember it because it did establish the fact that there are cup holders on the bridge of the Orville. Because Ed is drinking a cup of coffee and then he sets it down in a cup holder. I thought that was really interesting. I guess, you know, you always need that kind of thing.
See, what's happening, I just figured it out. This whole thing with all of that and then the thing of them going off and fighting the Krill and leaving the message, that was necessary to establish in canon that there are cup holders on the bridge, and then it's going to be pivotal in an upcoming episode.
Okay.
Like, they're going to be... yeah, they're going to be baited by a you know, an alien race, and then they're going to be on the Orville, or they think it's the Orville, and then they're going to be like, let me just put my coffee cup down, and there's no cup holder, and be like, oh, it's all a simulation or whatever.
That's the only thing that makes sense, I think.
That's very, very interesting, yes.
Yeah, so turns out the food is bad on this alien ship. Captain Orville wants to spit it out. But then he finds out that Alara was shot, and they go to her. And man, she was really shot. She's bleeding all over. Luckily, the doctor has magic medicine and is able to save her. And we go to Kelly, who has been taken captive by these aliens, and they're just beating the shit out of her. They keep punching her in the face over and over.
Yeah, I loved how many times they just showed them punching her in the face.
Yeah,
it never got old. It never felt gratuitous at all.
It didn't feel like culturally not the right thing to show on national television.
No, not at all. Every time I was like, yes, get her, which was a little confusing because I think we're supposed to be rooting for her, but she's just such a bitch that I mean, like, she deserves it.
Are we, though? Like, so what I took it was, okay, this is what the audience, you know, it's one of those like dark fantasies you have. And they're just expressing that. Like, what happened if there was insane, visceral, on-screen violence?
Wait, can I say one thing, though?
Oh,
I did think it was kind of funny when he was like, I'm going to ask you one more time, where are your friends? And she said they're in Central Perk. I thought that was kind of good.
It would have been kind of funny if the alien, like, believed her at first or something. But no, he...
Yeah, I know, that's what I thought.
But I think he also knew it was a reference to Friends because everyone in the future knows all of the, you know, the references of now. So he kept punching her. She says she can withstand the violence because she's been through a divorce.
You're more resilient than you look.
I've been through a divorce. This is nothing.
Has Seth MacFarlane been divorced before?
No.
Okay.
If he hasn't,
I looked it up.
I don't know how he like keys in so well to what I'm assuming divorce feels like.
I think what happened was he was in like 10th grade and had a girlfriend, and then she kissed another guy, and then he was like, he couldn't share that art with the world until he was in his 40s, so he changed it to the equivalent emotional experience of a 40-year-old.
Why Tim, I think that's an interesting theory, but it's got a fatal flaw, which is anybody being with Seth MacFarlane and wanting to be with anyone else instead. You've already got Seth. Why would you look outside that relationship?
Well, yeah, it is softened a bit with all of her friends being like, he's such a good guy though.
How about you, Danny? Thoughts on divorce?
Yeah, I really liked it. I really like the way that it comes up in this show. I was worried that she was implying that Mr. Orville also like hit her a lot in the face.
Oh my God.
You're more resilient than you look.
I've been through a divorce. This is nothing.
I didn't think of that, but that's really good.
But other than that, great scene. Loved it.
How about the concept of divorce? What do you think about that, Danny?
I think it's great. you know, everybody makes mistakes. Cut it off and end it. That's what I say.
Absolutely. Do aliens get divorced? Is that? Well, yeah, they do, because the Krill guy. Wait, no, yeah. He was just giving you relationship advice, general relationship advice.
But it seemed like there was like an impending threat of divorce.
Yeah. Okay. Aliens get divorced.
If only somebody here were an alien expert.
Yeah.
Who could answer the question definitively.
But anyway, so the leader says he'd rather die than save their spaceship. He doesn't want to listen to them because they're outsiders or whatever. And Doral says they have to stay on the ship and not have it fixed. But the Orville's like, no, we need to do it because you guys are dumb. I don't know. I think this was kind of the part where I thought it was about religion, Tim. Because the guy's like, God says we have to stay on the spaceship even though we're all going to die. Because I'm saying if you replace Durrell with God in that case.
So I think that's maybe where you misheard, because they did say Durrell says or Jarrell says, and he is a guy. Who is he? He was played by a famous actor.
Yeah,
who
he was Liam Neeson, we find out a little later.
I really want to know how that agreement went down, that Liam Neeson was like, yeah, okay, I'll be on the show, but I'm not going in. You have to, like, just wherever I'm at, I'll like record a video on my phone and you can use that.
And maybe what happened was they didn't send him a script. He just improvised, and that they based the entire episode off of.
That would make so much sense.
If you can hear this, then the ship has gone. I don't remember what he says.
I don't know if he said anything important at all.
So, yeah, it turns out that it's Liam Neeson. I think the thing is, you guys, Seth MacFarlane is just such a, you know, everybody in Hollywood loves the guy. So they're, you know, fighting over chances to make an appearance on the Orville. That's why we've got Liam Neeson in this one. I don't want to spoiler anything for next week, but there's a big star next week. There's actually a big Star Trek. If you're into Star Trek, the director next week is a big name for you. All these people just want a piece of this.
This week we had Robert Knepper. Last week we had Jonathan Adams and Ron Canada. Oh, that was episode 2, Ron Canada. Big names.
Yeah. Was the guy from this week, that was the guy from Prison Break you're talking about? It was the leader of the...
Let me click on him, and then I will answer your question. Yes, he's the guy from Prison Break.
Okay. Yeah, that was the leader. Who I think gets killed or something. They shoot him. What happens to him?
I thought they just stunned him. I thought that was the implication.
Okay. Yeah, they get away.
As we said, stunning might be killing in this scenario.
So yeah, once Kelly is done being tortured, they give her a truth-telling serum, but then they give him the antidote like immediately after. She has no chance to say anything.
I have a question about the truth-telling serum.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, we find this to be a very effective truth-telling serum. And then, this is what I inferred from it, that I don't know if it's what it's supposed to be. I inferred that the way that it was like a truth-telling serum was just that it's extremely painful and that you don't get the antidote until you say what they want to hear.
Oh, okay.
And that like forces you to tell the truth because you want to get the antidote. Is that what it was supposed
I think that...
to be?
Yeah, I think okay.
That makes sense.
I mean, it's essentially worse than any of the other torture that we saw her go through, but...
But it's also the same.
Yeah, it's just more of the same.
It's like, right. I'm gonna hurt you until you say the thing I want you to say, and then I'll stop.
And it worked. Or no, wait, did it? I don't remember.
No,
I don't think she actually says anything. After getting the truth-telling serum. They give her the antidote right after. They shoot the leader guy. Then Isaac breaks him into Durrell's chamber where he fixes their engine. And they open up the sky so they can see the space. They can see all the stars. And then they know they're actually on a spaceship.
Danny, how did you feel about the revelation that the figure who we think of as God is actually Liam Neeson?
I thought it was great. I thought it was a good sort of commentary on how we idolize celebrities, you know, like Liam Neeson, and how they should have, in fact, been worshiping like a real god or something instead of, you know.
How was that the message?
That's what I took from it, yeah.
That's really interesting. You know, I actually don't know that much about, you know, the real God or whatever. Maybe you could talk to me about that after the episode, Danny.
Oh, I would love to. I would love to.
Okay, cool. So then the Orville comes back and they leave, and that's the end of the episode.
No, first she says the quote.
Oh, I missed it.
She says the Emerson quote.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why she said it. Hmm. I don't know why she would say it or what it had to do with anything. But it did set up Mr. Orville for some really good jokes about how dumb and uneducated he is.
I thought that was a like one of the lines in the Survivor song by Destiny's Child. And I was like, wow, there's some really good writers in that band.
I think it just goes to show that it's not just about the laughs on this episode, on this show, because of course there are tons of laughs on this show, but there's also, you know, there's the poetry, there's the commentary about, you know, celebrity culture, and, you know, sexual dynamics and stuff like that. It's all in there and it's all really, really good.
Yeah. There's some laughs and there's some cries as well. You know,
Danny, like, what did you cry about?
I cried when about this kid that they like just kidnapped from his family at the beginning. I thought that was kind of weird. Danny, they just broke in and shot his dad.
Danny, this is the reason you're only an ensign, is because you don't even realize they do that every episode. Every episode, kidnapping a child. That's not a joke. It really does happen all the time.
Yeah, well, I teared up at that. I also teared up when they were about to open up the thing and they're like, oh, it's to simulate light, it's simulate night, and the guy was like, what's night? Because apparently it's daytime always there, which was really screw with everybody a lot, like,
but didn't play into the episode at all that they never had night.
Revelation in the last like 30 seconds of the show.
They didn't really have any evolutionary intricacies or cultural things. It was just at the very end, like, by the way, it's never night.
They could have easily also just had night.
Yeah.
Just open it up and be like, it's nighttime.
But then
night is like.
But then they would know that there's something in the outside world because of stars.
But if they don't know that because of, like, the daytime sky, you could be like, oh, this is just what the top looks like at night, which we have.
Yeah, like, we have a regular night here on planet Earth, but we don't assume that we're in a spaceship every time we see, you know, stars and stuff like that. So I guess it doesn't really stand. I mean, they could see stars and not assume they're on a spaceship.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So that made me cry.
So I guess no one has ever found the door that leaves.
Well, like, didn't the guy just like know where the door was? Like the head of the reformers or whatever, when they knocked out the guy, was like, oh, we're on a spaceship. That must be what this door is for.
I don't even remember where that guy came from. I thought they just brought the kid with them, and then suddenly, like, the main reformer guy was with them. When did he show up?
The kid takes them to the reformers, and then they let him know where the door is to fix the ship or whatever.
So they all knew already?
Yeah, I think kind of everybody kind of actually does know, but like the religion is you're supposed to pretend like it's not true or something.
But how do they know? Because the whole thing was they've never experienced anything else. Yeah, so they don't know what space is or what.
I thought their idea was like, oh, there might be something beyond, and I guess this door is a big part of it. I don't know that they knew they were on a spaceship, but they knew about the door.
And they didn't want to risk opening the door to see what was there.
Well, they couldn't open the door. Only Isaac could with his little tendril fingers. He used his robot powers to open the door.
So, yeah, I guess that actually the plot holds tight. It all makes sense.
Oh, by the way, I just wanted to mention... Well, first of all, let me just ask. Danny, wait, you're not an alien expert. But anyway, yeah. Just open to the floor, I guess. Is Isaac a robot, or is he like an alien in some kind of suit? Or what is the deal with Isaac?
Well, I think we have a pretty good answer to the first part of that question.
Oh, okay.
Which we learned when the actor who plays Isaac retweeted us and said, Isaac is not a robot.
But did he say what Isaac is?
No. But he just... He retweeted us. He did not like our post. He did not engage with us in any way, except to say it's offensive to call Isaac a robot.
Okay.
I think he's an animatronic android, technically.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think he identifies himself as something, and it ends with AI.
Hmm.
Oh, what could it be?
Flat job AI.
Is that what he can tell? I just wanted to bring that up because when they're in the cabin, there's a weird shot that the cameraman does where he's like back behind the Orville and Isaac to show the kid in the frame there, and you get a real great shot of Isaac's butt, and it looks just like a person's butt in a pair of leather pants. And I just thought that was a weird thing because a lot of times also, like he's wearing like a chest piece thing, but then like his arms are clearly some kind of like a silver thread fabric. And I wonder, is he a robot? What is Isaac?
He's not. I just told you he's not a robot. That's right. The only thing we can say for sure.
That's offensive to him.
Yeah.
I'm Greggy. That's two warnings. I'm ending this interview at a third.
Okay, I'm sorry. We better get to ratings of this episode of The Orville then. Danny, since you're the ensign, we'll let you go first. What do you give this episode?
Well, I thought it was great. I guess overall some good parts, some parts that were pretty great. Some parts that I really liked a lot. Guess I give it probably a 5.
Okay.
Oh. Out of what?
Out of 5.
Oh,
and
oh.
5 what's? Out of 5 what's?
Five points. five stars. I don't.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Five stars, like they get to see at the end of the episode.
Ooh. So that was 5 points out of 5 stars?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, that makes... If it's a 5-pointed star, uh-huh. That just makes one star out of 5 stars.
Yeah,
like all the podcast reviews of the unofficial Orville podcast.
One out of five stars?
5 points of 1 star.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense. So, Miranda, how about you? What are you going to give this episode?
I mean, every episode, I think it can't get any better than this, and then it does. I got to give this one 12 out of 12 punches to a woman's face.
Oh, there goes my rating. Tim, how about you?
Yeah, so I had to, once again, augment my rating system. I had to tweak it. So it's the same thing as before, which I won't repeat because we all remember what it was. And additionally... Because the ending was so powerful.
Danny wasn't here last time.
Oh, yeah. you know, it was, it's simple. You can probably guess it, honestly. It's not even worth saying. So I have one additional way that points can be achieved for an episode, which was, if I'm crying, every star that there is while I'm crying. So what that means is, because they open up to the entire universe, they get 1 point for every star in the universe. And assuming that this hasn't changed much in 400 years, that is a 1 followed by 24 zeros points. And if you factor in, there's also an additional 1,300,000 512 of the other types of points. So this one, once again, setting new highs for how many points an Orville episode can get.
Can I ask a question about your rating system?
Please.
If you start crying because Captain Orville and Kelly are talking about their divorce, do you get 1 star or 1 point because Seth MacFarlane is on screen and he's a star?
Well, you already get 1 point when McFarlane's on screen, as long as he's playing Captain Orville. Okay. Might have to augment that later if he takes on another character.
Oh my god. I would love a Clumps episode where the Orville is everybody.
They could do it in the holodeck.
Okay. Well, I guess I will give my rating now. I'm going to give this 1 out of 1 off-screen boyfriends. I'm going to give it 1 out of 1 bullet wounds in Alara's chest. And I'm going to give it 7,752,856,224 out of 7,752,856,224 voicemail numbers. This was an amazing episode. 100% perfect all the way around. So it's time for the regular features on the show. First of all, we have to admonish the other podcasts because, as always, there are two other, well, there's three other technically, other podcasts that like to talk about the Orville. There's the Planetary Union podcast. There's the Orville podcast. And then there's the Orville Will Be Canceled podcast. Now, those guys have not done an episode since the last time we recorded, but they've tricked us before. So I like to think that maybe they stopped doing the podcast like we've asked them to. But there's a possibility the Orville Will Be Canceled is still going on.
I think they gotta be done. They gotta have, maybe they're just gonna like retool and come back as like the Orville is the best show of all time podcast.
Well,
yeah. Still infuriating, but better.
Yeah.
If they're going to come back, I hope that's how they do it. Of course, we would prefer they just not bother at all, because they're going to, you know, do a bad job of it. And if you're going to listen to an Orville podcast, you folks are already making the right decision. This week, the official Orville podcast Twitter account launched past Planetary Union and the Orville podcast on Twitter. We're beating them considerably in Twitter followers. And actually, we're still beating them quite a bit on the amount of people that we're following, which was another metric that we have been beating them in all along.
Equally important.
Because it's like they're just being greedy. They just want you to follow them. They don't want to have any part in what you're doing. Whereas we're like, yes, we'll follow you. Even if you tweet entirely in Turkish, we don't mind.
Love it. Better.
Like it better.
Obviously, we are the official The Orville podcast. So it makes sense that we would be, you know, much more popular on the internet. But we've also got great fans. Folks have left great iTunes reviews lately. I've got a few that I just wanted to showcase this week, just to say thank you. Marvin Martian 8117, he wrote for us, "Is this a podcast or a 90s pop culture roast? 5 stars. First of all, let me just say, Marvin, this is absolutely a podcast. To be honest, I don't know where the second part of your question, a 90s pop culture roast, where that would come in, like where you got that idea in the first place. But this is definitely a podcast.
And it's good just to clear up the facts for any potential listeners they need to know it's a podcast. So we're all having fun and saying other stuff that it is too, but it is a podcast. And I think Houston's review clarified that pretty well.
Is his phone number still on there? No, he edited out his phone number. he said that was not his phone number, so don't try calling that. Yeah, Marvin Martian says, I stumbled across this podcast, in quotation marks again. This is definitely a podcast. Marvin, I don't know how to stress this hard enough. This is a podcast. He says, it caught his attention. I'm not sure y'all are focused enough to actually give an in-depth breakdown, but it's good enough and does not distract from the hilarity that ensues. So, yeah, we just spent the last hour breaking apart this 45-minute television show. I don't know how much more in-depth we could have gotten. I guess we could have gone line by line or something. If that's what the fans want, please let us know. Call into the voicemail. That number again, of course, is 775-285-6224, and let us know if you want us to go word by word in our breakdowns of the episodes. But I don't know if that's necessarily, necessary. That's where y'all rise above the pretenders. Between trash talk and the dripping sarcasm, I find it quite refreshing that y'all go after the other podcasts that threaten your domain, and make no mistake, they deserve it. Okay, so this guy absolutely gets it. I think he thinks we're being sarcastic when we're saying these other podcasts should quit. That is not the case.
Why would we be sarcastic?
I don't know why they're doing it. I think they're just doing it to troll us, basically. that's what the internet is, though, these days, But I'm not being sarcastic. Stop doing your show as soon as possible, please.
Yeah.
Please.
There's nothing funny about that.
So keep it up. You've made a really bit fan here. I assume a really big fan. Sapphire stars to all the hosts, the ones that bother to show up. Okay, this guy, he gets it. He gets it, after all. And why does it take so long to put these out? Okay. Ep for it aired last week, and there's still no podcast. Anyways, great job, guys. Glad people actually enjoy talking about this show. And we love it, actually. Yeah.
Really, to say we enjoy talking about this show is an understatement.
First of all, we love watching the show. And then when we're done watching, we love to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
We wait to talk about it for your sake, Marvin. We don't want to spoil you. As we said over and over again, this is for your own good. Danny, what did you think about that review?
I thought it was great. I liked the fact that he honed in on the fact that this show really takes it to the other ones. I was wondering whether you want them to stop making podcasts about the Orville, like, would it be okay if they made the Orville podcast?
Yeah, I think that would be a good pivot for them.
I mean, we would have to sanction it if they're going to call it official, but other than that, I'm supportive.
Right, yeah.
It sounds like too much paperwork to me.
Last week we did, I think, give them permission to make other podcasts. But we also called them criminals and said we hope that they become bankrupt and unable to pay podcast hosting fees anymore.
No updates there. Same story there.
Let's see. Any of these other reviews we want to talk about?
Yeah, talk about the ones from the other podcast.
Oh, yeah. Some nasty, nasty trolls came out of the woodwork. That's why I said that I thought that they were trolls. They were doing the other podcast to troll us, because they leave these reviews. Tattooed Girl Nerd leaves a three-star review that says, not cool. Tattooed Girl Nerd says, not cool to call yourselves official when you aren't. Good tag to hook people in, but the bait and switch isn't nice. Please, I would refer you, Tattooed Girl Nerd, to episode 1, where Seth MacFarlane gave us permission to be the official Yorville podcast.
I mean, I would just refer you to the title of the podcast. It says it's official.
Right.
We're official.
A lot of these people seem really confused with things that could be cleared up from just reading the title. It is official. It is a podcast. The Orville. It's just a couple of words. Read it before you write the review. Appreciate the review. But, I mean, it seems pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, now it's time to read the part where they play their hand as showing that they're a troll, because Tattoo Girl Nerd continues and says, Planetary Union Network and the Orville podcast are way better. Yeah.
It's so absurd. It's like if you're gonna write a fake review, at least try to be convincing about it, you know?
Absolutely. It is good that they were honest enough to at least give us 3 stars, even though they're coming from another podcast, and leaving this review. Like, they're like, okay, I hate these guys because they're mean to me in my podcast, but I can't deny that there is some quality there.
They're using your podcast, their wonderful rating system, right?
Oh, okay, maybe so. Yeah. This other guy, AdamBomb07119, says pretty much the same thing. Here's another confused person. Baby96797 leaves us a 1-star review that says boring. They say, listens to the first episode for about 20 minutes. The hosts are boring and have zero personality. The main host does not bother to acquaint himself with the characters and their role. Okay, that is stupid. I guess on the first episode, we were a little confused about who does what on the ship. But obviously, you've got Captain Orville. He's the captain. You've got Kelly the bitch. She's the second mate. You've got Bordas. He does security stuff. Alara is security, actually. Bordas does a different thing. Isaac is on the computer. Gordon drives. John Lamar also drives. So, yeah, I think we know what everybody does.
You say a doctor?
Oh, the doctor's does a doctor. That, yeah. Yeah,
and Norm.
Pipes or something.
Yeah, McDonald sexually harasses her.
They need to step up theirs game. I'll listen to a couple more episodes. If it doesn't improve, then they lost me forever.
1 star. I'm only going to listen to 3 more episodes.
You know, listen, baby 96797, don't bother. You know, we've got tons.
Definitely don't listen to this one. If you didn't like the other one, you're definitely not going to like this one.
Anytime anybody is encouraging me to step up my game, I really want to take that on board, because I do want to bring, you know, just more and more quality every week to this podcast. So thank you for that one, baby. But on the whole, I just want to say fuck you and I hate you.
This is what I want to say about this person. You know what else they gave a 1-star review to? The Outback Steakhouse app. They said, app is crashing. It's useless to me. Clearly this person doesn't know quality when they see it.
Well, they just have a crappy phone. It would probably be skipping while they were listening to it, and that's why.
They also gave Google Maps 3 stars and said, does its job. I like it. Does its job. I use it to plan my travels.
And that only rates 3 stars to them.
That's 3 stars.
Yeah, like one of the most useful and amazing apps in the world, and they give it 3 stars. That's ridiculous.
By giving us 1 star, they're saying you are 1/3. You deserve to be 1/3 as popular as Google Maps. I guess that would be okay. I'd be okay with that.
I'm actually okay with that.
Okay. Yeah, that's the other podcast segment. Our podcast is the best. The other ones should quit. So now it's time to talk about the Orville on Twitter this week. Starting us off, we've got Kira at Heel Kira. Kira says, hashtag the Orville comes on tonight, which means at Scott Grimes is going to be on my TV. What a blessed day this is. Now all I need is wine. Aww. 2 wine emojis. And that was retweeted by Wendy Del Monte, our favorite Wendy. Twitter user.
She's very quick on the keyboard.
Good friend of the show.
It's interesting how many people on Twitter want to have sex with Scott Grimes. He seems kind of like a doughy redheaded guy to me, but I guess he's very sexy. Miranda, yeah, you're a woman. What do you think?
He's on the Orville, and that makes him sexy automatically.
Danny, what do you think about this phenomenon?
I think it's great. I think everyone on the Orville is sexy in their own way. And I think it's great for everyone to get that recognition. I do think that the Orville himself, with his, you know, lovemaking abilities and soft skin, should be higher up on the list, but I guess the other people can get recognized too as well.
That's great.
That seems
thank you.
Fair.
It's very disrespectful to Captain Orville to say, hey, this guy who's like 8 ranks below you, he's good looking.
Mm-hmm.
End of story, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think, okay, speaking as a woman, here's where I'm coming from. Obviously, Mr. Orville is a 10 out of 10, just in every regard. But that just makes him so unattainable, you know? Like, sometimes we got to be more realistic and say, I'll probably never get to fuck Seth MacFarlane as much as I want to. I'm going to settle for trying to fuck this guy who's on Seth MacFarlane's show, and that will probably work out for me.
That's a good point.
That was a way in, yeah.
You were married? Hell no. In fact, when I imagined the person I'd fall in love with, the person who could bring me so much happiness that I'd want us to spend the rest of our lives together, God, it just makes me want to kill myself.
For this next tweet, of course, wine seems to be the official, thing you take when you're watching the Orville. But Twitter user Marijuana has different thoughts. At real Marijuana says, nothing like getting high AF and taking in a sweet episode of hashtag the Orville. This one was also retweeted by Wendy Del Monte. And Talking the Orville also retweeted this. Talking the Orville is a guy on YouTube that talks about the Orville. So far as I know, he doesn't put his show out as a podcast. So I give that a hesitant okay.
Yeah. Do they talk about our podcast?
I don't know if he has yet. I haven't watched every episode. I watched parts of one. And it seems like a great show because they are talking about the Orville. I would prefer that since it's a video media and everything, he would just keep it to only the images and leave the talking about the Orville to us, but it's like a different thing. So whatever, tentatively, it's okay.
I say this with all due respect. You are high.
How to Phil at How to Phil says checkmark emoji, tiny checkmark brunette, checkmark strong enough to break me. Alara from hashtag the Orville is checking all the hot boxes.
No, boo. Ooh. No. No. First of all, the actress is blonde.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you look at all the pictures in the articles about her dating Seth MacFarlane, you can see that she's blonde.
Can I just say, blondes are better at being brunettes.
What?
Mm-hmm. Do you think brunettes are better at being blondes?
No.
What are brunettes better at?
Never mind. I don't know what I'm not going anywhere with this.
Okay. I just wanted to mention. Also, Wendy Del Monte did retweet that one as well.
Yeah, of course. I feel like you should just note if Wendy Del Monte did not retweet an Orville tweet.
Yeah, if you include hashtag the Orville, it's probably going to have a retweet on it. Yeah, so that is tweets this week about the Orville. That's all I got for you.
Do you want to read some Twitter messages that we've gotten lately?
Oh, sure. Yeah, would you like to read them, or do you want me to?
Sure, yeah, I can. Well, I'm not signed in, but I was looking at them before. So maybe you should.
Oh, okay. So let's see here. For instance, Alex Arbor,
like Arbor Day?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why he... likes us so much. He says, hey, I noticed we're into the same kind of music and I'd love to get your opinion on my new video. Would you mind checking it out and letting me know what you think? If you dig it, the rest of the EP is on YouTube and everywhere music is sold and streamed online. Oh, I guess EP is EP. That's EP. But he didn't capitalize that at all. And you know me, I'm a podcast boy. I love talking about EPs. So we replied, what kind of music do you think I'm into? Alex has not gotten back to us yet so far on that.
I think he will. He reached out to us in the first place. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see why he wouldn't follow up.
Yeah. But he did show an interest in us and, you know, what we do. So I just feel like we need to return the favor, and following here is a little clip of his song that he sent us.
Everything I don't want, but it's the way you flaunt it. It would be a lie that you're the only one that wants it. You always manage to find your way back to my bed, but we know you'll go back, back to him instead. Yeah, back to him instead, back to him instead. Goddamn, maybe it's those eyes, and goddamn, goddamn, maybe it's those thighs that kill me from time to time. I'm the only one that sends shivers up your spine. Oh, I know how you like it, and I know that you like to ride it.
I'll say whatever you need me to say, tell you all about taking your breath away. You can't beat it up like I beat it up. Girl, you know it's true, you can never have enough. We fight, we scream, you swing for the fence. I'll just fuck you till you come to your senses, and we'll go back to him instead. Yeah, back to him instead, back to him instead. Goddamn, maybe it's those eyes, and goddamn.
Wow, we really liked that, right, guys?
He was right. We do like the same kind of music.
The part where it goes.
Yeah.
What did you think of that song, Danny?
I thought it was great. I also liked the part where it went like, and there's another tear for me, but for beauty.
Jimbo at James A. Brettany sent us a direct message that says, check out a review of my webcomic that leads to a YouTube video. And it says, send custom messages to new followers via the unfollowspy.com website. So thank you for sending us
that. Helpful of him. It was such a helpful tip.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Let's see. Any other good ones here?
I got one that I like. I got two that
please.
I want to read. This one's from Star at Star Over Hose. And it says, I'm going to keep it short and simple with you, sleepy face. First of all, I got a problem with a few things. Thinky face, rolling eyes face. Why are you going around with half-assed followers and no support when you know you deserve better? Come join my team. Hashtag Black Mafia will put you on some fire shit. Fire emoji, reply how if interested.
Did we ever reply to that?
Do we reply
now? Not yet.
How?
We have to... I thought we should all talk about it first. Or do we want to be part of Black Mafia?
Well, so full disclosure, we did also get a competing offer from @loudpxcks to join hashtag Savage Empire. I think we have to choose between the two.
Are you not allowed to do both?
I don't know. They seem competing.
Maybe we should.
I vote for Star.
We could reply to both and ask if we could be in both Black Mafia and Savage Media, or do I have that backwards? What
Savage,
are the two?
Savage Empire.
Savage Empire.
All right, I'm responding and saying, is it okay to join if I'm a part of? Is it at Black Mafia or hashtag Black Mafia?
It's hashtag.
I will have an update next week.
Okay, great.
I do have one more good Twitter message that I figured we could read.
Okay.
It's from Siradishi Profile at Askezkala, and it says, Merhaba guzel insan hosh geldin, a monkey covering its eyes. Taki ichin teshekurler, blushing face. Kendimi I hessa bimi taki Ederson Severin. I think you get the idea. It's a lot of that.
Yeah, I could tell where that was going right away.
Yeah, we appreciate all followers for sure. We only speak English though. So
we'll
it's difficult.
We'll take messages in any language, but it might be hard for us to reply.
Yeah, so definitely thank you for that message at Escascala. Oh, here, let me just reply to that. I only speak English, but thank you for the great message, friend.
Okay.
Well, we should also probably offer to him membership in Black Mafia or Savage Empire.
Okay, yes. Would you like to join? Hashtag, where's the hashtag? Black. Wait, I don't know if we have the authority to be inviting other people to.
This is what I think. I think maybe we don't know that yet, but if we get caught, we just say, well, I didn't invite him. I just said, would you like to?
Okay, good point.
I'm just asking if he wants to.
Hashtag Black Mafia. And I'm not going to say or, because as far as we know, you can join both. Savage.
Empire.
Here we go.
Do you have a vote, Danny, on which?
Yeah, if we can only choose one, Danny, which do you think is the right choice for us?
I think I'm just going to have to go with Black Mafia. It seems more in keeping with our style and you know, no disrespect to the Savage Empire. You know, I love what they do, but you do hear some stories coming out of there, and they're not kidding around with the Savage part. It could get rough.
Okay, we'll take that under advisement. You are only an ensign, and your vote doesn't actually count. But thank you, Danny.
Anytime.
Hopefully, Kevin will send us in a voicemail telling us which one he prefers. Yeah, I think that's everything this week, guys. Is there anything? Oh no, of course. There's everybody's favorite segment, the winner of the Golden Ori. Wow, we've had some really great performances by everyone on the show. Even our little ensign, our little sweet ensign boy, did a great job. So I think I'm gonna give it to Danny Cannon.
No.
Hold on.
Oh my goodness.
No, hold on. The real Danny Cannon, Miranda.
Thank you so much.
Wait, I'm still mad.
I just have a few people who I'd like to thank who made this all worthwhile. I mean, it's a tough grind to do this every week, but there are certain people who just keep you going. I want to thank Danny for letting me take his name and identity from him. I want to thank Greggy for giving me the Golden Ori this week. And of course, one more person, can't forget, gotta thank Seth MacFarlane for making the show every week that we all love so much. Thank you so much, Seth.
Yeah, thank you, Seth.
Thank you, Seth. We love you.
I love you, Seth.
Danny.
Love you, Seth.
Goddamn, maybe it's those eyes, and goddamn, maybe it's those thighs that kill me from time to time. I'm the only one that sends shivers up your spine. Oh, I know how you like it, and I know that you like to ride it.
Designer drugs, all up in her nose. 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 Pretty face, black lace, makeup on my pillowcase. She left so quickly, she thought she didn't leave a trace. Pretty face, black lace, makeup on my pillowcase. She left so quickly, she thought she didn't leave a trace.
Goddamn, maybe it's those eyes, and goddamn, maybe it's those thighs that kill me from time to time. I'm the only one that sends shivers up your spine. Oh, I know how you like it, and I know that you like to ride it.